Samuel M. Morse, the inventor of Morse code, 1844 was the year. He said, "What great things God hath wrought." Numbers 13:13 or 23:23, he quoted the very first text message. And here we are in 2023, the 14th of October, and or the 13th, depending where you are. There she is, the evidence there and there. California, Mrs. Oregon, nice to see you. Big hugs and love, and praise God you've been safely brought through such a long distance, all of you. Looking forward to hearing various things that have happened. Brother Bob's shared a little. I'd like to share a small story before we start this morning or this evening. Prosecutors admitted they could not match bullets found at a crime scene with his gun. Excuse me, skip the first part, most important. Anthony Ray Hinton on death row in Alabama for 1985 murders of two restaurateurs for 28 years. April 8, 2015, judge overturned his conviction. Prosecutors admitted they could not match bullets found at the crime scene with his gun. I was at work when one of the crimes took place. That wasn't good enough for them. They didn't even begin to check my alibi. I spent 30 years on death row for a crime I didn't commit. But God had a plan. I had a job to do. And that was for those men to see Christ in me. I figured death row was the best place to not only mention God's name, but to talk, pray, and show that faith. Amen. He was represented by Equal Justice Initiative and the 152nd person released from death row in USA since 1973. On the first day of release, he visited his mother's grave. She died while he was in prison. After being released, he published a memoir, The Sun Does Shine, How I Found Life and Freedom on Death Row, 2018. He was portrayed by O'Shea Jackson Jr. in 2019 film Just Mercy. Hello, Sister Luce. Good to see you. How do you pay a man back for 28 years of his life? As of late 2022, he still had not been paid any compensation. Mr. Hinton said, "I will not allow bitterness to steal the joy of my new found freedom." We're born into this world and death awaits us all. Our justice initiative has been given us a passport to eternal life if we wish to use it. Our alibi pleads his blood on our behalf for all who cling to him as Savior. How can we ever pay him back? The wages of sin is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through union with Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. But free from what? The presence of sin? No, the power of sin, and ultimately the presence of sin. After the hereafter, at the resurrection of the just, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. And last quote, "He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus Christ, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Colossians 1, verse 22. And I've chosen for tonight's song, and thank you for that heads up, brother, about the Kizzy Camp meeting. Just write it down. Okay. And it's called God Will Take Care of You. And as I was thinking of it, God has taken care of you and he will continue to. The only time we live is in the present. And I'll just see if I can get it on the right side so we can all see it. Probably not that one, but that one. God will take care of you. And for those who know the song, please feel free to join in. Love to hear. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through days of toil and hard to fail, God will take care of you. When danger's fears your path will sail, God will take care of you.
God will take care of you every day
or all the way.
He will take care of you.
All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen and amen, all round. Beautiful. Amen. Well put. Amen indeed. And He is taking care, has taken care of us, and will do it even to the day of Jesus Christ, as we're promised in Philippians 1. If we will continue to follow even unto the end. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue in the book of Prophets and Kings, new chapter, dealing with Jehoshaphat. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to have another Sabbath day on this planet to get to know you better, to get to understand Jesus the perfect representation of you, and to have the representative of Jesus right now with us as we pray and as we continue where you've led us throughout the week, safely through another week, even by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sending conviction to our minds and hearts about more of Jesus, more about him, more about his thought life, more about his work life, more about his mission, more about his prayer life, and every other feature of his life that made him who is our Savior, whereby there's no other name given under heaven to men whereby we must be saved. Thank you for allowing us to meet like this on the internet, and may the upcoming Kizzy meeting, camp meeting that our dear brother Joel has alluded to just now and requesting prayers be kept on our prayer mind or even on a prayer list or both as the time comes for it, and it continuing, and that it might bring forth more fruit to thy glory and everyone be blessed. When you're blessed, it's blessed forever, and this we must have because we want to realize more of the humility you've given us the power to be and submission so that we can experience what it means to ride on the high places of Jacob, as the prophecy in Isaiah 58 brings out about those who keep the Sabbath, thy day, in thy way. We ask for the preparations for such camp meeting and any others that are taking place, or just simply meetings like right now, today. I know in the Philippines, of course, we've got the same timeline. They're probably having Sabbath school. Maybe they've already had it. They've started at 5 a.m. I don't know, but you know all about it. And we wish them an especial blessing who are feeding the flocks of God, to be able to indeed give meat in due season. And thank you for rewarding our ears with the wonderful news and our eyesight to see the DSS, the family all together, including Sister Joan with them in Oregon, Sister Adele, and I think Brother Justin as well is there already. They're all together and they are safe. And all the different things, stupid things, foolish things that can take place on a road where many people die every day, it has not happened to them. And we thank you for these nurses and protecting them. Although we can't see them most of the time, at least, we thank you for the heavenly angels that have worked on behalf of saving us from doing things we're going to regret by impressing us in a better way. And also protecting us from harm that evil angels would love to bring upon us. Please bless our efforts to come closer to you now as we rely on the Holy Spirit by simply giving our will to thee to have your way with us. In Jesus we pray. Thank. Amen. Well, that was Lucy. I don't know if you saw her going past. Now, let's put up what we are up to. I just thought I'd just use the LNG White database without using the Word document. We'll see how that works out. Just bring it up on the screen. Okay, here we go. So we got up to chapter 15, as mentioned earlier. The title is called Jehoshaphat, who's the next king in the history of Judah. And last time, which was quite a number of months ago, it was dealing with in the spirit and power of Elijah, was the previous chapter. and the significance of the fact that when we are tempted to feel like Elijah, but there's so little to no one who believes in the truth of God like we do, that there is plenty others. Yep, even plenty others. 7,000 Elijah was told, and of course there's a lot more people on the earth now than there was then who are following God and will shine as bright lights as more darkness covers this earth. That's when they shine the brightest. And of course, that's when we're tested most. Well, let's start. Would you like to start us off, Luce, and read the first paragraph? I probably should just zone in on that one paragraph at a time, sort of. Can you see okay? I put it on the TV too, but that's not that big.
Until called to the throne at the age of 35, Jehoshaphat had before him the example of good King Asa, who, in nearly every crisis, had done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Kings 15, verse 11. During a prosperous reign of 25 years, Jehoshaphat sought to walk in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside.
Amen. Actually, would you like to read the next paragraph too? I'll just bring it down for everyone. Okay, there you go.
In his efforts to rule wisely, Jehoshaphat endeavored to persuade his subjects to take a firm stand against idolatrous practices. Many of the people in his realm offered and burnt incense, yes, in the high places. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. The king did not at once destroy these shrines, but from the beginning he tried to safeguard Judah from the sins characterizing the northern kingdom under the rule of Ahab, of whom he was a contemporary for many years. Jehoshaphat himself was loyal to God. He sought not unto Baalim.
Sorry, cutting goes a little bit further.
But sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Because of his integrity, the Lord was with him and established the kingdom in his hand. 2 Chronicles 17, verses 3 to 5.
Amen. Thank you, sis. That's a good start into the chapter. I love how 1 Kings 15, you know what the opposite of 1 Kings 15, 11 is? You find often in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, and he did that which was, and then it's all lies on that next word. It's either evil or right. And of course, Jehoshaphat was of the right side. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. If you can see here the power of influence of his father upon him for good. He followed his good example. You see here the reality that, like other kings before him, didn't take away the offerings and burnt incense in the high places. And we'll underline yet because it does happen. But not yet. It hasn't happened. Not yet. But can you imagine working with what is your brother in the faith supposed to be, and he's got more tribes than you, and I'm referring to Ahab, 10 of them in fact, and he's actually for the devil's side, but he's claiming to be working on the side of right and for the Lord God at the same time, or serving two masters, which no one can do, said the Lord Jesus, and that we know that ourselves. I'm sure Ahab knew that because of the cause and effect. And you also see the reality of how God blessed as he sought to do, just like his father did, and just like Asa was blessed. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Any thoughts, any verbal things anyone wants to share or texts?
I thought it was very wise that the king did not at once destroy the shrines, but from the beginning he tried to safeguard Judah from the sin, so he was allowing them to choose. And people who are allowed to choose and they know about God usually choose the right way. There's more conviction in choice than in force.
But the fact that he left them was not setting a very good example.
Yeah, it's good to hear from both of you. It is an interesting question. I mean, an interesting point. Why did he allow that? Because other kings before him had done the same as well. And it's usually mentioned in a way that's not complimentary to the king. Like it'll say, he did this, this, and this. And then it'll just say on a side note, like it says here, but he still allowed the offering and burnt incense, yet in the high places the people still did. The point's clearly made, and so it was a very strong sin that was regarded as, well, we're serving the Lord, we're just doing it where we want to do it, and we're just doing it through individuals whom God has not ordained to do it. Because with a different place where they're doing it, they're no doubt not using Levites, and they're not supposed to Levites in the priesthood, but anyway, they're only to be working in the temples. I think what was Sister Joan was saying, how he was working carefully to bring them, but how long? I don't know if it tells us how long, but as Sister Jean brings out, I mean, the power of wrong example in a leader affects everyone else. And he appears to be successful at winning them over to give up the high places later. But do you wait till later on? It seems precarious to do so. What is anyone's thoughts on that?
Well, you said the fact that it was mentioned is kind of an indication that it was not approved of God. In the same way, there are several places in the Old Testament where it says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Spirit of Prophecy says, that shows it was wrong. They were supposed to do what was right in God's eyes.
What I see in this verse, it says Jehoshaphat himself was loyal to God. He was. And if he was loyal to God, then he knows that God allows choice, not force. Again, choice made by a believing heart is more powerful than force.
No, thank you for, oh, sorry, was someone going to talk? Did you want to add anything further, Sister Joan? Your mic's on.
No, I'm trying to mute this program, but I'm getting a little, a blue circle. I can't mute it.
Yeah, well, very, very interesting points. Yeah. I mean, we want to be found guilty, if you will. I mean, guilty always makes us, it's always a negative, but if you're found guilty in the right path, serving the Lord, praise the Lord. So you notice here that it does say in the beginning paragraph that it says he did that which was right in the Lord. He's a good example, like his father who was reformatory, and he doesn't turn aside. He endeavors to persuade his subjects to take a firm stand against idolatrous practices. And Joan's sister Joan brought out that, you know, you can't force people to do things. And none of us have lived under a theocracy, but they were under a theocracy. And if you were to be a covenant people, you were to enter that covenant and to obey the words of God. And of course it had to be from a willing heart, but if you did not want to, then, you know, time and again in the Bible, especially Exodus, it talks about the people being cut off. I mean, you could cut off yourself. I mean, we don't read of any instance when anyone actually did that and left, as far as I can, just on the top of my head, where they cut themselves off from the children of Israel, but they usually brought apostasy in and it worked like leaven, and, you know, we have the Old Testament going into great detail. And so, I mean, it doesn't give the timeline here, but we do know it does lead on, although I'm jumping a little bit ahead. He does end up taking them away. But yeah, time and again, it has mentioned this as a side point that it seems that the kings were afraid to take what must have been a strong tendency that doesn't make it right at all, and all the more needed wisdom to deal with the people. But, of course, free will, it's a beautiful thing. As I've said at work, traffic controlling to smokers, I said, and it comes with results, for and against. It's, you know, for pro-health or against it. Any other thoughts anyone would like to share before we go further?
Wanted Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. As time passed and reformations were wrought, the king took away the high places and groves out of Judah, and the remnant of the Sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. Thus, gradually, the inhabitants of Judah were freed from many of the perils that had been threatening to retard seriously their spiritual development.
Amen. You know, when you read those words, Brother Dick just read, you almost get concerned. It says, and his heart was lifted up. Usually that goes to the negative, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this great Babylon which I have built? But then it goes, in the ways of the Lord. Oh, not in the ways of self, me, myself, and I. Wow, that's powerful. And look at the material blessings that go with it, because he's going to be rich toward God. So Brother Dick just read that time passed. We're not told how much, but reformations were wrought out, and the king does take away the high places and grows out of Judah. And he went even further than his father Asa, which means that his father Asa, or the previous king Asa, he must have been working on getting rid of the Sodomites, because his son gets rid of the remnant of them. Sodomites being another term for homosexuals, which remained in the days of his father Asa. He was successful at ridding them out of the land. what a reformation was taking place. And if you and I were there, we'd go, wow, never seen things like this before. And you can see here also that if there are sodomites that are being removed, taken out of the land, what's to say they're not Jews that are being removed who want to continue doing and behaving like that? There's some interesting points, the theocratical significance, the power of being under God. Any thoughts, any questions, comments, insights anyone wants to share?
Well, I'm thinking about Gideon. He did something, it seemed like, fast. He went out one night and destroyed some altars and tore down some groves. I don't recall that he did that 5 nights a week, or, you know, but he started out, it seemed to me, pretty fast. I think this one here says gradually, let's see, took away the high places. Yeah, thus gradually the inhabitants of Judah were freed from many of the perils that had been threatening to retard seriously their spiritual development. And idol worship and homosexuality would retard it. Yeah, it would. And they do need to be taken out of the way. If we humans can't do it, the Lord knows how.
Yeah, amen, bro. And amen, comment in the room. Choose life, choose love, choose God. That's why we are Christians. God is love. Alrighty, well, let's go to the next paragraph. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Throughout the kingdom, the people were in need of instruction in the law of God. In an understanding of this law lay their safety. By conforming their lives to its requirements, they would become loyal both to God and to man. Knowing this, Jehoshaphat took steps to ensure to his people through instruction in the Holy Scriptures. The princes in charge of the different portions of his realm were directed to arrange for the faithful ministry of teaching priests. By royal appointment, these instructors, working under the direct supervision of the princes, went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people, from 2 Chronicles 17, 7 through 9. And as many endeavored to understand God's requirements and to put away sin, a revival was effected.
Amen. Wow, there's a covenant relationship speaking to us in that paragraph. You know, the Jews in Christ, eh? And no doubt before it and thereafter, they had this issue that they were married to the law rather than what the law meant. And that was love to God first and foremost and to his creatures, that it was on the same basis because it was God's property, his creatures, and that this was without this law, his governance could not exist in truth, in love. But you can see here the significance of, in understanding of this law, lay their safety, because it would lead to conforming their lives to its requirements, which would make them loyal both to God and to man. It wouldn't contradict one to the other. It wouldn't be putting man above God We put God above man, but man on an equality with one another, with loving our neighbor as ourselves. I think it's interesting, he also had, by royal appointment, instructors working under the direct supervision of the princes. And that's interesting, a bit more involvement, not just having the instructors alone, but supervision of the princes. You know, it's through the power of the religious people, a nation is either blessed or destroyed, and we see extra help given these and care taken to make sure that the people are taught and taught according to the scriptures. Brother Josh has just come to the room. Welcome, Brother Josh. And again, revival is mentioned because the requirements to put away sin were endeavored through the understanding. Any thoughts, comments, questions, insights anyone wants to share? So we can see here that as Christians, and just like Adam and Eve, before and after the fall, especially after the fall in relation to covenant, we as individuals are represented in the Bible as being married to the Lord through covenant, rather than to the law, to the Lord of the law. And the law is a representation of his character and why he will, just as his threatenings are real, so are his promises for the covenant-keeping people by his grace through Christ. You know, someone might say, well, how did people get saved before Christ? How could they overcome sin? And I think I brought this out last week. It might sound like a broken record, but it would be the Adam and Eve believing in the sinless one to come. The only way the atonement can count for anything is if this same one lives a sinless life and leaves an example for all of us in babyhood, childhood, youthhood, if that were a word, and of course, adulthood or manhood or, you know, becoming a person, an adult. So if that wasn't there, then the atonement would not take place and be efficacious. So they actually had living faith in a sinless Savior to come who could help put away their sins in their life, all the way from Adam and Eve down to all who would look to God for redemption in this world of sin. Well, let's go to the next paragraph. Who would like to read that?
To this wise provision for the spiritual needs of his subjects, Jehoshaphat owed much of his prosperity as a ruler. In obedience to God's law, there is great gain. In conformity to the divine requirements, there is a transforming power that brings peace and goodwill among men. If the teachings of God's word were made in the controlling influence in the life of every man and woman, if mind and heart were brought under its restraining power, the evils that now exist in national and in social life would find no place. From every home would go forth an influence that would make men and women strong in spiritual insight and in moral power, and thus nations and individuals would be placed on vantage ground.
Didn't we read somewhere? that righteousness exalteth a nation. It worked for Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I think the rest of the verse goes, that sin is a reproach to any people. Yeah, I think that's a proverb. Yeah, I mean, you see, if we looked at the reverse, if the teachings of God's word are not made the controlling influence of every man and woman, and the mind and heart is not brought under its restraining power, those evils do exist in national and social life, and there is place for it everywhere. But that's not God's plan, and praise God, He's got power to not only speak what He wants and inform the will, but to perform it in us. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible to them that believe. And what an influence, and that you and I are the light of the lights of the world to shed light of the glorious character of God for human beings, and the plan of redemption in this great controversy that continues on and is nearing its end. We're blessed with understanding what has been in the past, what has led up to the present, and what is going to bring to an end this great controversy between good and evil, light and darkness, Satan and Christ. And it's no wonder Satan is going to act like he is Christ, literally, because to blur the distinction between who is Jesus Christ in truth, when mortal eye beholds a being they've never seen in their life, and he states things that sound like Jesus, that looks like Jesus, but a dead giveaway, he's doing away with the very foundation of God's government. The law that has God's name, his position, and his dominion. Talking about, of course, the seal of God versus the mark of the beast. Isn't it interesting how many people get confused about the mark? They say, oh, that mark 666. But of course, that's the number of the beast. That's not the mark of the beast. Any thoughts or questions or comments further?
I like the sentence, from every home would go forth an influence that would make men and women strong in spiritual insight. And spiritual insight is given by the Holy Spirit. So it's telling us there that If mind and heart were brought under restraining power, then we're close to God. We ask for the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Then we have spiritual insight and moral power.
Amen. So learners, submissive, humble. If we're filled with ourselves and sin, even one, cherished, where can the Holy Spirit work? Is there any room in our heart? I mean, we look at, I'm not trying to put people down, but I think it's in the Bible. You know, you talk about Saul. What a prosperous reign that king could have had. He was made a new man by the help of the Holy Spirit, but he turned out to be the worst of tyrants. And that's because he had no place for humility. Eventually, he just found no place for repentance. And God could not use him. So imagine just how much, like Sister Jo was just mentioning, how much God wants to use us constantly for good and only good, under all circumstances, all places, because his Holy Spirit is able to do this and wants to do this. So very great promise, isn't it? There's the threatenings of God are real in the Bible, and so are the promises.
And they're all conditional.
Amen. You meet the conditions for the threats, you get them fulfilled. You meet the conditions of the promises, you get them fulfilled. Amen. Good point, bro. Well, who would like to read the next paragraph? Yeah, if. Sorry, go ahead.
For many years, Jehoshaphat lived in peace, unmolested by surrounding nations. The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. Verse 10. From Philistia, he received tribute, money, and presents from Arabia, large flocks of sheep and goats. Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of stores. Men of war, mighty men of valor, waited on the king beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judea. Verses 12 to 19. Blessed abundantly with riches and honor, he was enabled to wield a mighty influence for truth and righteousness. 2 Chronicles 18:1.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good to hear you, sis. And thank you for reading so clearly. This is amazing, isn't it? Here's the fulfillment of the promises. He's got peace for many years. He's unmolested by surrounding nations, because as you know, you've got three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. And, you know, God knows exactly where to put the people that he wants to reach out the world with. And, of course, Israel was the place. And look, and it didn't just go unmolested, but it went beyond that. That was going on in their minds, wasn't it? It wasn't just a physical nature that was keeping them being unmolested. It went beyond that, if there was any physicality involved, you know, by evil and good angels. But it says the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands. So this was an internalizing reality that they are servants of the Lord of the Most High. Did they say that in those words? There are instances where heathen kings do say that. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar would probably be the crowning one. But you can see here it also led them to give tribute. Tribute money and presents. Wow. So you've got Philistia. Where's that? That's on the Mediterranean coast. And then, of course, you've got Arabia. That's the opposite side. On the east. And they're giving large flocks of sheep and goats. And it says Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. Wow. That sounds a lot like the time of Solomon. Of course, it wasn't as successful as that because he had 12 tribes. But nevertheless, he's got all the Judah has castles, cities of stores. Wow. What a blessing. Riches and honor, he was enabled to wield a mighty influence for truth and righteousness. And what a blessing he must have been to the people because he was following God. You know, because God's for everyone, everyone gets blessed by people who follow God, because God's for everyone. He doesn't have a select few and says, right, these people are saved, but these people are lost. He wants everyone, whosoever. They have everlasting life. And it's starting right now by the Holy Spirit controlling their lives. Any thoughts, any questions, comments, insights anyone wants to share?
Yes. It says here, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. This is a fulfillment of the promise where it said, in Exodus 34:24, I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, for thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. And those convocations is where all able-bodied men and any women that wanted to were to come up to Jerusalem, I imagine, for feasts or celebrations, festivals. And, you know, where I am, I think to myself, what happens to this place when everybody leaves? There's no locks, there's no keys and no gates. Well, God promised Israel that nobody would desire their land. Nobody would come in and pilfer things and steal things. And this was the promise, and here was the fulfillment.
Yeah, what an excellent point. Yeah, unmolested, happy to leave home and go for those feasts. Three of them, major ones that all had to come up. And as you mentioned, women could go, as far as I know, as well, if interested to do so. And they could do it unmolested. And like you said, this was the fulfillment. That's our neighbor. I don't know if you can hear him. We're looking forward to him joining us one day. His name's Peter. Quite biblical on the name front. Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that, bro.
This is one man following the Lord, and look what he was able to do. That's kind of a calling for each one of us. We may be only one person, but if we're following God, then God's influence is with us and may reach maybe not one, but maybe many. What an opportunity. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Inexhaustible grace. Can we lean on the Lord to do his blessed mighty will on this earth? And the good thing is we can know that his will is good. So it's not something we have to be unsure about. We don't have to be doubting his love for us. He gave us all in that one gift where all heaven was given in Jesus Christ. Good point, sis. It's really powerful. It makes you feel like you're a lot of people all in one person, but yet God loves every one of us, no less than the next person. And of course, because of the saving influence you and I can exert to save others, he regards us as the apple of his eye because that's what he wants to happen. He loves Jesus more because he's made salvation possible for us to be saved from our sins. That's good news all round. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Some years after coming to the throne, Jehoshaphat, now in the height of his prosperity, consented to the marriage of his son Jeroboam to Althea, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. But this union there was formed between the kingdoms of Judah and Israel, an alliance which was not in the order of God and which in the time of crisis brought disaster to the king and to many of his subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were doing so well. Things were looking so good, and we were rejoicing at the good that he was doing. So we're told some years after, we're not told exactly. Possibly we might be in the Bible. No quote given here. Oh, dear. Now, did he know about, maybe he argued this way. Well, he is a brother in the faith. because, hey, he is Israel. But yet the kind of nation that he was running, Ahab, Jezebel was against the Lord, not for the Lord. So that would seem to speak of clearly not a safe thing to do. You know, a lot often we might think, like, why in the world did they do stupid things like that? And of course, probably one of the reasons would have been, like it has been for a long time, is to unite kingdoms. But that's, marriage is not going to change a heart. Heart, only God can do that, and they clearly showed rebellion in the kingdom of Israel, more than Judah. Most of the time you'll read in Chronicles and Kings, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and that's referring to Israel. He said that about Judah as well at sometimes, but not as many as Israel copped it through their kings, who were unfaithful and, of course, affect the subjects of their kingdom. But what a disaster. What awaits us to read about this? Does anyone want to share anything on this paragraph?
We're told when you marry, you must consider the parents of the person you marry. It's not just women. Either side. Are there, for Christians, are the parents Christians? Do they love the Lord, or are they idolaters? Let's put it like that, like Jezebel was. You know, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. Jehoshaphat consented. He should have known better. But I guess he had to pay a price for that consent.
Yeah, wow. What a price to pay. I suppose perhaps Jehoram, you know, says, oh, I love her. She's just the one. And I mean, were there not enough women in Judah? Why did it have to be particularly the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel of all the people? Yeah, well, that's a good point, Brother Dick. Even, you know, the influence of mum and dad is great. It doesn't mean the son or daughter has to turn out like them. Sometimes it actually, I'm not saying this helps a person become a convert, but because of free will and possibly other good influences, despite the bad influences of mum and dad, the child actually becomes a Christian. And, but was it a secret that Ahab and Jezebel were in apostasy? Was that a secret? Of course it wasn't. Everyone knew about it. But they were getting confused, especially in Israel. They were very confused they have this mixture, admixture. I think someone wants to talk.
Was not this the Athaliah that later killed all the seed royal and became assumed leadership queen? And had to be dealt with similarly.
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't got a concordance with me if there's more than one Athaliah or Athaliah, but yeah, I mean, if that is the case, then you know what? That's, how corrupt can it get? That's just, oh, fearful. And like you say, he would have to pay the price of that, consenting to it. It must be hard. I mean, you all know I'm not a parent, but it must be hard to say no to your children. But why do parents do that? Do they do it to bring you know, a burden on the son and daughter. Just can't think of anything better to do. They love to see their power of exercise and control. I mean, parents can do that, can't they? And they have done that in history. But if they do that and they give their good reasons, I think I like the way Ellen White explains it. You explain to your children, I mean, this is much younger, I'm sure Jerome was not a child at this stage, at least not close to it. She said something to the effect that let the children know that you have a duty to God as their parent, and that you can make it easier for me by following what I'm telling you to do according to God's word, or you can make it harder. And the reason I'm giving you the advice and sharing the things that I am is because God is my creator as it is yours. And I have special responsibilities as a parent as you have as a child. But there seems to be this lack of, you know, honoring father and mother. I mean, I wonder what sort of conversation Jehoshaphat, the good king that he was if any, talked about with Jehoram. We're not told here, it would appear, but perhaps other places.
Mr. White says, bend the tiny twig. Solomon said, train up a child in the way he should go. And the earlier one starts, the better success they'll have. You don't wait till they're teenagers before you try to make them behave, because in our culture, that's too late. They're gone. They got their smartphones and their televisions and computers. And what did mom and dad know? They're old folks, you know. Start young.
Amen. You know, God tells us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so God didn't say don't marry or don't be yoked together with those that are not of your faith. He said unbelievers. And you can have unbelievers among those of your same faith. Like we see here, Athaliah, she was an Israelite. She was part of God's chosen people, and yet she was an unbeliever in the God of Israel. She wanted to follow her own ways. And so unbelievers there is not just referring to people of other religions. It's those that are not following God. They're following their own will, and they can even be among those of the same religion.
Thank you, bro, and Brother Dick. Yeah, I always took it that Athaliah, I don't see Athaliah and Jezebel actually claiming to serve the Lord God. But of course, being married to Ahab, Jezebel, there is got to be some connection. They're just included in the process of their own pagan religion. But that's a fantastic point. It's the unbelievers. What's it, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18? Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And of course, we all know there are unbelievers in Christendom, and even of our own faith. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Jehoshaphat had said, son, I can't consent to this, and then gave him good reasons why. And even though Jehoram might rebel, all that, at least you didn't have to live with the guilty conscience. I could have told him why, and it might have even impacted him in the future when he realized the results that would follow for unfaithfulness to God. That no doubt Jehoram claimed to serve. I wonder what else we're going to learn about Jehoram with Athaliah and her, the future that is portrayed from this event of their marriage. Doesn't that sound a lot like Daniel, the prophecy, and they shall not flee one to another? How many times Europe was trying to cling one to another through kings and queens to unite them and defy, as it were, God's words of not being able to cleave one to another. We have a quote in the room, and it's from Revelation 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Satan has a synagogue, which say they are Jews or Christians, spiritual Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. God speaking, Jesus speaking. Amen. What a powerful quote that is. Well, I guess we will leave it there for and pick it up next week. But anything further anyone would like to add on what we've looked at today? All right, well, we'll leave it there. Brother, comment in the room, they become ecclesia. Now, that's church, my understanding of the word. Looking forward to picking it up next week. Hey, there we see everyone at once. They all got masks on loose, haven't they? It must be a COVID season. Just hey, there he is, Brother Diggies. You've been waiting there all along. That's good. Fantastic. Well, does anyone have any testimony, praises, prayer requests? And remember Brother Joel and the Kizzy camp meeting for 17th of October. Please feel free to share and anything else. Songs, song requests. Love to hear from you all. Hey, there's the Sessler family. Big hugs to you all. They're there in Oregon, the land of four seasons.
Four seasons, huh? Well, I guess mine would be a testimony. My brother and I went down to Mena this week to bring a load of iron up here. We took a mobile home and turned it into a big 30-foot flat trailer. It has four wheels. And he kept loading iron on it and loading iron. I said, that's enough. No, he said, it'll take a little more. And we lost one tire on the way up here. I couldn't believe just one. We should have gone by and scaled. The front of that trailer was so heavy that it bent the receiver hitch that was on the back of my brother's truck. But the Lord protected us. He only let us have one flat tire blow out or wear out or something. And it happened in a place where we could pull over and change it on the asphalt apron into somebody's driveway. And but we spent the night in Russellville in the truck trying to sleep sitting up in a truck, Bob. It was very uncomfortable. We felt that we shouldn't push providence, shall I say. Would it be presumption to come on and say, Lord, please don't let us have any more flats and we'll drive the last 60 miles and hope we don't? Because had we, it would have been quite a deal because the road was narrow and curvy. So we spent the night and the next morning I bought two spares to put on it. And fortunately we didn't need them because it was quite a chore jacking the thing up. We had to take two jacks one to jack up the frame and one to jack up the axle. It was very, very heavy, but God blessed, and we got here, and the hitch didn't break.
Praise the Lord, dear brother. Thank you all for your prayers. As you can see, Mom is with us now. It is a tremendous blessing. We rented a U-Haul last Sunday. Had some relatives come over to help load, bless their hearts. And we thought we'd get it all loaded in one day. We got maybe half loaded in one day. So instead of taking off Monday to come up here, we had to finish packing the other half of the truck. And so we left Tuesday morning. I think it was 5:15 we finally got off. And the truck worked beautifully, no problems whatsoever. Except you felt every bump and every pothole and every rough road. And there was a bunch of them along the way. We had about 1,000 miles that we needed to drive. And so we were wondering whether we should make it a 2-day trip or try to do it all in one day. And the Lord allowed me to have the alertness and the energy to do it all in one day. Michelle, bless her heart, did not fare very well in the cab. It was very difficult for her to find a comfortable place to be, but we were able to make it here in one day. We got rolled in at 1 a.m. And we were trying to get here before the rainy season hit, because once the rainy season hits, you have mud up to a foot deep in places, on roads, dirt roads that would normally be hard pack, you know. And there was 5 inches of rain that fell while I was gone. And it was going over the rain gauge, so there was probably more than 5 inches. So I was really praying for like the last 400 miles. Lord, please allow me to get up our road. There's two driveways. They make a circle. But the one I needed to go in was the one that was a bit higher and a bit steeper, and I had to make a 90-degree turn in order to get into the driveway. And this is a 26-foot U-Haul, so it's long. So we finally get to where I'm going in the driveway, and I get up to the point that I need to turn into the driveway, I can't turn 90 degrees, but I need to turn to get from a straight into the driveway. And as I turn, the back tires start to slip. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, this is where you have to help. Have your angels push if necessary, you know. And so it starts to slip, right? And I don't want to take my foot off the gas all the way because I lose my momentum. So I took my foot off the gas a bit, but kept it on, and it finally went into super low. It caught, and I was able to make it all the way up that turn and pull into the driveway. I was praising God. And When we backed up the truck to where we're going to unload it, we had packed it within an inch of the door in the back. And it's a slide-up door. And when we opened the door, I noticed it was a bit hard because some stuff was against it. But it went up, and I looked, and it only settled, it only shifted that inch. No more. It was like everything was glued in place, and I think it was just the bumpy roads and the potholes and all the shaking going on that caused some things to settle. So praise God, we made it here. The van is not unloaded yet, almost. Not quite. And there's only been very, very few damaged items compared to what it could have been if things would have shifted more. So we're praising God most of all that our precious mother is here with us. And California can be a quick memory. There was a murder that had taken place while I was there, or just before I got there for the 6 weeks. That was like a block and a half away from where Mom was. So it was definitely something that she's no longer having to worry about, put it that way. And one of her first comments here, we pulled in Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, one of the first comments out of Mom about being here, she goes, "It's so quiet." In the city, you have that low background hum from, you know, who knows where it's coming from, but here, it was so quiet. There's no hum. She could look out and see trees from both windows, actually. The one behind her, and then there's another one to the right. But we're so thrilled and blessed to have Mom with us. And praise God that everything went well. We're able to load up in 2 days. It's taken us more than 2 days to unload. But we'll get her done. With God's grace and strength and help.
It took me 86 years to accumulate all that stuff. That's what you get when you get old.
I couldn't have got all my stuff in 2 26-footers.
So God is definitely good. But the devil, of course, doesn't like the fact of blessings occurring, and so he has to get his little claws in the mix to try and discourage. And we noticed when we came in early Wednesday morning, got here at 1, that our female dog, Tina, had a swollen left face. We weren't quite sure why. When we got up from sleeping and we looked at her more closely, the swelling had gotten bigger. Her left eye was completely swelled shut, whereas earlier in Wednesday morning, she could see out of her eye. So we figured it was an abscess. She's 5 years old, so that was kind of strange to have an abscess at that young age. Anyways, we called our vet. He could not see us for another week, and so we knew that we couldn't wait that long. Yeah, we thought it might be a spider bite or perhaps a bee bite, and that's why we wanted to wait a little bit. But that was not to be. Michelle brought her in the house, gave her some food. Her appetite was great. No problem there. But she started shivering, and it's above 70 in the house. No reason for her to shiver. So we felt her, and she was very hot. The other dog we have was not hot at all, and he was not shivering. So we knew she had a fever. We knew she was fighting an infection, and so we decided to take her to the pet emergency hospital. We got her there about 7:30 in the evening. They didn't get us in a room until 11:15 that night. They didn't come in and examine her until 1:30, I think it was. And they finally took her in to do an examination under anesthesia or under sedation to find out if it really was a abscess tooth or what was going on. And that was about 2 something in the morning. When the doctor came back, she showed us pictures. It was not an abscess tooth. It was a tumor that had invaded her jaw, upper jaw on the left. And it had caused her canine tooth to become affected. And that's where all the swelling was coming from because it was abscessed. But even if there would have been antibiotics given, it would not have taken care of the tumor that was in her bone. So we had the difficult position of deciding to keep her sleeping instead of allowing her to wake up. And we brought her home, and Justy and I today buried her on the property. So when there's great blessings, thank you, when there's great blessings, the devil has to get his kicks in to try and lessen the happiness that God graciously gives in his blessings. But the devil's a defeated foe. We're almost unloaded in the van. We'll be taking it back to the drop-off place on Monday, Lord willing. And God has given us very kind and generous neighbors to help us unload. And one of those neighbors, he's actually not next door, he's about 10 miles away, but one of those neighbors is the individual I mentioned to you before about him having all of those questions about biblical subjects. And I shared with him, yes, Brother Adam, I shared with him many different areas that was out of the common beliefs of Christianity. And he was kind of taken back by many of them. He said he would definitely study more. And if he had any questions, I said, hey, you know, feel free to contact me. So he has contacted me with several of his questions and comments and thoughts. But he sent it to the wrong email address. So I gave him the correct one, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But he was one, out of the kindness of his heart, that came and helped us unload a lot of the heavy stuff, or some of the heavy stuff. And there's 3 or 4 heavy things that's too much for me and Justy and or Adele to deal with ourselves. And so he has graciously agreed to come up early Monday morning on his way to his work and help us unload the 3 or 4 heavy things that remain. So bless his heart. And it's just such a tremendous blessing that God can give traveling mercies, he can give grace, he can give extra strength, he can give help, he can have his angels push heavy vehicles of muddy roads, and he can also lessen the pain that the devil causes. And what a joy it will be if it's within God's will to have our beloved pets restored to us on the new earth. It's within his character to do so. I haven't found any, thus saith the Lord, that says that's a possibility. But it would really be a blessing to have our pets restored. So thank you for your prayers, dear ones. God answered them. His traveling mercies are great. We didn't see any accidents on the road. And it all worked out for the great blessing of having Mom here with us.
Well, that's wonderful, brother. Many things to praise God for. You just reminded me, how did the Sabbath sermon go and the meeting with the SDAs?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me about that. It was quite interesting. They were very formalized in how they did things. This has to be done first, and that has to be done first, and we have to go over to the side of the room, have prayer by ourselves, and then we come up on stage and have to go through this and so on. But it was interesting, as I was giving the talk on Christ and his church, to see the expressions on the faces of those in the audience. There happened to be a past president of the conference in the Philippines, SDA conference in the Philippines, Asia Division, who happened to be visiting that particular Sabbath. He's retired, but he was there. And he was the one that had the opening prayer for me. And it was quite interesting to see him there in the audience, because he went from smiling to very solemn look to smiling again to very solemn look as I was going through the particular talk. And it is recorded. I was able to get a copy of the recording. They broadcast it live on Zoom, and they uploaded the, not just the sermon, but their whole morning program, or most of their morning program, on their Zoom, on Zoom, and then they have their Facebook page that allows you to see that recording. But I have the sermon notes, and that's one of the sermons I'll be doing here. I guess it's the first Sabbath in November. So you can hear what was given. But as I was going through the sermon, I had individuals saying, amen, I agree, and then as I was making the points a little bit more close to home, they became very silent, very quiet. And you could see that they were recognizing that everything was not peace and safety in the church. And I had one particular brother in the back. The topic was Christ and his church. I had one brother in the back, on the left, my left, that was smiling most of the time I was giving the sermon. And I couldn't determine whether he was smiling because he recognized where I was going with it, or he was smiling because he agreed with it. Anyway, he was one of the first to come and talk to me after the service. And he says, I greatly appreciate you being so Bible-based in your talk. And he says, you get a lot of sermons that just are not Bible-based. They may have one or two texts and then they go on their own particular pathway. But he says, you were so Bible-based all the way through your talk. I was just beyond myself in joy and happiness to be right with you in your sermon. And he says, is there any way that I can get a copy of your sermon notes? And I said, yeah, here's my sermon notes. And I actually handed him the notes. And he goes, no, I can't take those from you. No, those. And I said, listen, I have it on my computer. I can print myself off another copy of notes. So here, you take it. And he says, oh, thank you so much. He goes, my wife is Filipino. And we're planning on going back to the Philippines. And he goes, I'm going to use your notes and give the message there in the Philippines. And he goes, but I'm going to break it up in two parts. I only talked for maybe 40 minutes, right? But he goes, I'm going to break it up in two parts. And then I said, well, great, fantastic. So it went very well. We were still invited to stay afterwards for a potluck fellowship, but there wasn't very many people that came over to talk to me. We had one dear sister that was my mom's caretaker. She did come over and was sharing, and I think it was her aunt or another relative that came over and was very interested to talk to mom regarding various subjects. So all in all, seeds were planted. I mean, even the retired conference president came over and shook my hand. And what did he say? Very enlightening or something like that. But he would not give any more comments. And, amen. God will water the seeds. And I don't know how many people have viewed the particular sermon online and the Facebook. I can always go and visit their Facebook page and see how many's visited. If it's still up. I don't think it will be up much longer on their site. But all in all, it went well. There were some individuals that would not come anywhere close to us after the sermon, and they, even though they stayed for potluck, they didn't come anywhere near us. They were giving us the cold shoulder. So the sermon hit home. Their beloved mother church was revealed to not be as on a pedestal as they would want her to be. And Lord willing, what I shared, even though it was not received well by some, will kind of stick in their mind, and the Spirit can trouble their heart so that they can study more into it and recognize the truth. So again, thank you for your prayers, Annette, and thank you, brother, for reminding me about the Sabbath amazing invitation. I'm still kind of surprised that I was invited to speak there, but the door was open, and I, in God's grace and strength, walked through it.
Amen. And truly, Ma and I truly were praying that all would have gone well for that. And that is truly a blessing, Elder Rob. And so glad that our dear sister Joan is there safe and sound, and the family is there. So that is a blessing and truly an answer to prayer. We praise the Lord for that. And with all of the speaking of the driving and the roads and the tires and things from Brother Dick, praise the Lord that you and your brother made it safely as well. It helped me to remember this past week as I was going to a doctor's appointment myself early in the morning to see a new doctor on my quote-unquote new journey, so to speak. And as we got in the car, you know, you're always so right, Elder Rob, how you're praising the Lord. I mean, you praise the Lord in everything. The enemy always has to get, what's the word, permission to throw his darts. And we only pray that he buffer those darts before they reach us. So as we were pulling out, the sign came up in my car, tires low, check tires, check tires. And I thought, oh boy, I don't know where the spare tire is, and I don't even know how to change a tire. And I'm praying, and the doctor's appointment was early Wednesday morning, the 11th. And I stopped a couple of places. One place was closed. The other place, the guy says, oh, they don't open until 9. And it wasn't a long, long distance away from me where we are here, but it was a good little jaunt. And I, of course, we were praying always, but I specifically, like you were saying, Elder Rob, Lord, please help us to at least get there and then afterwards to show us where. Well, lo and behold, when I pulled into where the doctor's office is, just to show God is so awesome. And he had me to raise my eyes, and right across from where the doctor's building was a tire place. And I was like, wow, God is so good. So after I left the doctor's office, I went there. They checked all the tires. They put air in them for me. There was no, what's the word? As far as I know, stone or anything in them. There was no charge for it. So truly, truly, God is awesome, and his word when he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus. Maybe paraphrasing, don't remember it totally. But, I mean, truly, God is so good. And even when these things happen, I'm not giving the enemy any kind of, what's the word, glory, because we know that God will work things out. So he took us there safely. After coming out of the appointment, I went and got the tires done and got home and didn't see any more lights lit up. So just wanted to praise God, because truly he is amazing and always, always worthy to be praised.
Wow, what a wonderful bunch of testimonies you have. And we're sorry for the loss of a, we call it a family member in your family, dear brother, the Sesslers. And God make up for the loss. And praise the Lord, Sister Lynn. That's great. The travel mercies, time and again. How many times are we protected? Do it every morning and count your blessings one by one, but you won't get to the end of them. Probably we should be singing that song right now. Have to find it. Have you got that one on your website, bro?
Sorry, what was the hymn that you want me to try to find?
Oh, I think I just looked on your website. I don't think you have it. Count your blessings one by one and name them. I'm paraphrasing the title there.
Count your many blessings, I think it is.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, ever doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amen.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amen, amen. Looking very solemn there, Brother Dick. Good to see. Keeping with the times. Well, I already love seeing you smile. Are there any last thoughts before we close with a word of prayer and a song by our beloved Dick? Well, it's been a privilege to be with you all and to catch up on a little with you all. And unfortunately, we won't see you live your time, Sabbath daylight hours, but may the blessing of God rest upon you all as you seek to do his blessed will by his Spirit. Keep looking up, and Lord willing, we'll meet again very soon, and may you all be blessed in the meetings God leads you to attend and participate in. Take care, and before we sing away, let's have a word of prayer. And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free to do so, and thank you.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for loving us, for taking care of us, for allowing us to worship together on Sabbath and other days during the week. Thank you for being a very encouraging force to keep us on the right path. Thank you for your Bible, which tells many stories of people who stuck with you and who won the race. Be with us tonight as we rest. Be with those whose Sabbath is now. Help them to finish out the day with hope and with joy in their heart. And we owe this all to Jesus, who took our place and took our sins away. Thank you, dear Lord, for eternal life in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Lovely prayer, and God bless you till we meet again. Just getting a scam caller. They don't give up. They keep working on the Sabbath. That's not surprising. Brother Dick, will you sing us away till we meet again? Keep looking up, and we'll look up when we meet again too. And like Sister Joan just prayed, may we end the Sabbath with greater hope than when we began. God bless and take care.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking. King of